International diplomacy isn't just a course in higher education, it's part of our first topic today. I'm Carl Azus. An estimated 70,000 Russian troops have been gathered along their country's western border with Ukraine. This is a divided nation. Some Ukrainians want their country to be more involved with the European Union, others want closer alignment with Russia. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky believes a coup may be in the works, that a Ukrainian businessman who's an ally of Russia may try to take over Ukraine, and that the Russian troops stand ready at the border to help. That businessman and the nation of Russia have repeatedly denied that, but Russia does support forces in Ukraine that are fighting for independence from their government. And Russia did annex or take over a Ukrainian peninsula in 2014 after people there voted to become part of Russia. Other countries said the vote wasn't fair and that the Russian takeover was illegal. The United States was one of those countries. Its Obama administration imposed sanctions or penalties on Russia for this, but critics said those penalties were too weak. U.S. President Joe Biden said they'd be stronger this time if Russia invades Ukraine, but his administration says it won't send American troops into a possible conflict. Why might Russia want to invade Ukraine anyway? Well, it's concerned that other European countries, with the support of the United States, could be moving weapons and defense equipment closer to Russia's border. It does not want that happening in Ukraine. A Russian-Ukrainian alliance could help prevent that. U.S. President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke about all this on a call this week. The diplomacy is delicate.
A high-stakes call amid fears of a Russian invasion.
Hello.
Good to see you again.
With tensions simmering on the border of Ukraine, President Biden spoke to Russian President Vladimir Putin for 2 hours and 1 minute.
The call covered a range of issues, but the main topic was Ukraine.
The call posing a critical test for Biden as he tries to avoid a major European security crisis if Russia invades Ukraine.
So did President Biden get clarity from him on whether or not that is his intention?
We still do not believe that President Putin has made a decision. What President Biden did today was lay out very clearly the consequences if he chooses to move.
Biden warning Putin about strong economic consequences and, quote, other measures, but it remains to be seen if the combative Russian leader backs down.
There was no finger wagging, but the president was crystal clear.
Putin had his own demands, including blocking Ukraine from joining the military alliance known as NATO.
He made no such commitments or concessions.
Sullivan adding that the U.S. is prepared to act in ways it didn't after Russia illegally annexed Crimea when President Obama was in office.
I will look you in the eye and tell you, as President Biden looked President Putin in the eye and told him today, that things we did not do in 2014, we are prepared to do now.
Tensions between the United States and Russia have only gotten worse in the months since Biden and Putin sat down for talks in Geneva. At that meeting in June 6 months ago, Biden predicted he would know soon if he had made real progress with Putin.
What is going to happen next is we're going to be able to look back, look ahead in 3 to 6 months and say, did the things we agreed to sit down and try to work out, did it work?
Caitlin Collins, CNN, The White House.
10-second trivia. The gray long-tailed garl is native to what country? Ukraine, China, Australia, or South Africa? This antelope-like mammal is also known as the Chinese garl for its native habitat. Until today, I was more familiar with another native species of China, this one, the giant panda, which as of this year is no longer on China's endangered species list. According to the Chinese government, giant pandas have joined Asian elephants, Siberian tigers, and crested ibises in seeing their numbers increase in the 21st century. The species is still considered vulnerable. There are fewer than 2,000 of them in the wild. But in protecting more habitats, China hopes the giant panda populations will thrive in the years ahead.
It is China's most beloved species, the iconic face of this nation. Treasured globally. Once endangered and near extinction, now the giant panda is on path to populate China's majestic mountains for generations to come. Welcome to Panda Valley, as it's called. For years, these cuddly-looking creatures have lazily roamed here in central China's Sichuan province. Despite decades of encroaching human development, In 2021, as part of an effort to increase biodiversity across China, 5 new national parks were unveiled, half of the 10 pilot areas under review for national park status. Among the first batch created, the Giant Panda National Park. It's become a panda sanctuary, thanks in part to what happens here. At the Chengdu Research Base of Giant Panda Breeding. When we visited, this one was getting ready for its close-up.
Giant pandas are known as flagship species, meaning ecologically, they're not as important as they are culturally here in China. But by protecting the giant panda, you're protecting the ecosystems for potentially millions of other species.
I met some of the rangers tasked with protecting that ecosystem and was surprised by how big tech has revolutionized their jobs. Looking to protect pandas? Well, there's an app for that. They are using the digital panda system, developed by Chinese tech giant Huawei with the Sichuan Forest and Grassland Administration, along with other partners. Spanning all of Sichuan Province, the system uses more than 600 cameras, along with drones and satellites to detect wildfires in hard-to-reach areas, with data stored in the Huawei cloud.
In those locations, there is often no power supply, so we provide microwave transmission network solutions and solar power solutions to support this kind of system in the wild.
Technology like this has also been used to track and monitor the other residents of the forest, like the black bear, golden pheasant, Tibetan macaque, and long-tailed gharial, helping to protect the biodiversity that sustains all life, including us humans.
Biodiversity provides what we call ecosystem services. These are goods and services that we don't pay for, but we need. Nature provides this clean water we can drink, but if we need to produce this water, it's much more expensive. And when we lose biodiversity, we are kind of breaking this function. With technology, we have much better information and we can be better informed.
This is just the latest of the long-standing conservation efforts that have helped revive the once dwindling giant panda population. Over the past 20 years, the number of wild giant pandas in China has jumped nearly 80%, from about 1,000 to roughly 1,800, removing it from the endangered species list in 2021. This conservation success story is thanks to the work of people like Ho Rong, nicknamed Panda Mom. She's worked with pandas for almost 3 decades.
Through protecting giant pandas, we want more people to pay attention to biodiversity protection. The giant panda is definitely not the only species we care about. We hope to extend the conservation efforts to other species.
Here in Chengdu, it's not only the giant pandas, but also you've got these guys. Red pandas. A bit more approachable, but equally as cute and cuddly.
Sadly, red pandas are still endangered, but the hope is with new technologies designed to protect these newly minted national parks, there will be more safe spaces for a range of species, from the lesser known to the most famous, to lounge freely for centuries.
In general, skydiving doesn't sound like something you need to add speed to. But don't tell that to these two. They're the world record holders in speed skydiving. When you don't just jump out of a plane, you angle your body and prevent it from wobbling in order to fall as fast as possible. Like more than 300 miles per hour possible, when normal skydiving only drops you at 120 miles per hour. It's reportedly the fastest non-motorized sport on the earth? No, off the earth. And they need no atmosphere, my dear. If the speeds they post and the posts they share show, believe it or not, they're walking on air. It's a scare. It's a thrill. It takes a dangerous drive. They head down head first on a headstrong dive to put their air heads together as they dare to shoot down toward the ground before they parachute. Well, that'll get our heads out of the clouds. We are headed to the United Kingdom before we jump today. Shout out to Lakenheath High School in Lakenheath. I'm Carl Azus, and tomorrow is Friday.